If you turn with me then to John's Gospel, chapter 18. John's Gospel, chapter 18. And if there is a verse that I want to highlight, it would be verse 29. Pilate went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" What accusation? What accusation do you bring against this man? Any blemish? Is there any blemish? The Lamb is tested and tried. Is there any blemish? Last week we saw that the Lamb of God was taken. Verses 12 to 13, he was taken, he was bound, and he was led away. The first thing that John deals with in the Passion narrative is the arrest. But after the arrest, there is the trial. And so being bound and led away, he is brought to the high priest. We read about that there in the verse 12, the verse 13. Led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. So following the rest, he must needs be tried. He must needs be found worthy to die. They want to crucify him, but they need to find a reason. He must needs be found worthy to die, and thus he's led away to be tried, to be examined, to be inspected, to be judged. So after the arrest, we have the trial. And in this Passover, this Passion narrative, which is at the time of the Passover, we are looking at it under the motif of Christ is the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, John said. And now we're looking at the Lamb in chapters 18 and 19. The first thing that happened to Passover Lamb was it was taken. But then after that, it had to be set aside for a while to be examined. It had to be tested and proved. It had to be made certain and sure that it had no blemish. And there had to be a time span for that. So after the taking and the choosing of the lamb, there is the inspection and the careful examination to see that it is without blemish and without spot. It must be a spotless Lamb of God. It must be able to walk properly. It must be able to hold its head up properly. It must have not any defect. It can't have any problems. It's time to find out if it's a lamb worthy to die. And so time is given to the inspection. And what better person to examine a lamb than a high priest? And that's where the Lamb of God is taken. Taken to the high priest. Taken to Annas and Caiaphas, to be examined, to be tried and tested. And so it's led away, he's led away to these men and also to Pilate. So God is showing us that Jesus Christ is a spotless lamb. That's what this passage is about. That's why John goes into it in such detail, that under the examination and under the microscope and under the highest provocation of man, the lamb is without blemish. The high priest was Caiaphas that year. The text tells us that. But yet it is said that he was brought to Annas first, who was father-in-law to Caiaphas, who is the high priest that year. Why Annas first? Well, Annas was rightfully the high priest But he was deposed by Rome, and in his place Rome put the son-in-law Caiaphas. And the Romans deal with Caiaphas. Caiaphas is the legal high priest in the eyes of Rome. But in the eyes of the Jew, Annas is still living. A high priest cannot be deposed by Rome. And therefore they bring him to Annas first, even though he's not the official high priest. As far as the Orthodox Jews are concerned, he's a living priest. You don't leave your high priesthood until you're dead. And they still acknowledge him as high priest. Now, when they come to deal with the Romans, they have to bring him to Caiaphas, and Caiaphas will bring him into the judgment hall of Pilate. But it's to Annas first, the high priest. Legal high priest Caiaphas, or the proper high priest in the eyes of the Jews, it doesn't matter. They're happy to have both. They're happy to work through both. But they officially, among themselves, as Orthodox, recognize Annas. John gets it right. Annas first. Later on, he's bound and brought to Caiaphas. And after that, verse 28, Caiaphas brings him to judgment hall of Pilate. So the lamb is being examined. Look at verse 14. What does verse 14 say? Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. One man. The high priest himself said, one man has to die for the people. He said it himself. He didn't know what he said. It was a prophecy. It was a spirit of prophecy. He meant a totally different meaning. But it's true. One man. One man has to die for the people. This is that one man. And he is being examined by Annas and by Caiaphas. And also, as we shall see, by Pilate. God's Lamb. Is he without fault and blemish? So that's what's happening here in this narrative. Not just the court of Annas and Caiaphas here, brethren and sisters. It's the court of God. There's a higher court. There's something greater happening than just being examined by Annas and Caiaphas and Pilate. There's something greater happening. God is showing us something greater. God is showing us this is his lamb. God is showing us that he has no spot, no blemish. He's going to be examined by the great examiners. He's going to be seen to have no spot and no blemish. God is using this to reassure us that Christ is the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Annas and Caiaphas are looking for fault. They want to find the blemish. They're examining him very carefully, but they fail to do so, as we shall see. So let us see then how the Lamb is tested and tried in God's providence. Let us see how he remains without blemish. Let us see how he is no sinner, but is substitute and sacrifice for sinners. Let us see how he is the worthy Lamb of God, who shall be crucified, a bone of whom shall not be broken. Let us see Jesus the Lamb. So John is highlighting the tests that Jesus undergoes. He undergoes tests within, that is, within judgment halls. But he also goes under tests without, outside the judgment hall. So John is bringing us through this in his narrative. He is showing us Jesus going through the fire. He is showing us Jesus in the press. He is showing us Jesus being interrogated, questioned, examined, and tortured. And throughout it all, he shows us that he remains the Lamb without blemish. The very important thing to know is, has he any sin? Because if he has any sin, he cannot be a substitute Savior. If he has any blemish, he cannot redeem us. If he sins, even under the pressure of torturous interrogation, he cannot save us. He's tested and tried so that we will see he's a lamb without spot and without blemish. That's what this narrative's about. So there are trials for Jesus, first of all, within. Inside the palace, inside the judgment hall, before Annas and Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate. Tests and trials from those who were not the friends of Jesus, but his enemies. For those who wanted to break him. For those who wanted to find fault in him. For those who did all in their power to discover that he is a sinner worthy of death. The first examination is described in verses 19 through to 23. The high priest asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus is interrogated. He has nothing to hide. He says, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort. He says, I went to the public places. I didn't hide. I didn't say things in closed doors. I had no secret meetings. I went to the places where all the Jews resort, to the synagogues and to the temples. I went there all the time, he says. I ever went there. It was always public. The Jews resorted there. There are plenty of witnesses. They're all about. Why are they not here? They heard me. Ask any of them. He said, I openly. That's the word he used. I openly taught. So there are plenty of witnesses. Why am I here being examined? Where are the witnesses? You see, there are things about this trial that you need to know, brethren and sisters. The first thing you need to know is it was illegal. It was at night time. The Jews aren't to have trials at night time. It's to be open. Open to the public. Open to people to come and go. Advertised and known. This is behind closed doors. This is at night. This is among a select bunch. So the court has spot and blemish, but not Jesus. The other thing you need to know about this is the accused did not speak. Witnesses for or against him in a Jewish court had to be brought. Not the accused. The accused stands there and the witnesses are brought. Proving the allegations, proving the accusations are the contrary. There are no witnesses. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ means when he says, I speak openly, I speak everywhere. All the Jews know. Get them. Where are the witnesses? The Lord Jesus was putting his finger on the blemish and spot of the court. But he has no spot and blemish. And then thirdly, physical violence was not allowed. But they don't like Jesus' answer, which was a just answer. And he's smitten. And he says, do you answer the high priest so? The court has spot and blemish, but not Jesus. He is without blemish. Then next of all, he's brought bound to Caiaphas, and that's the staging ground to get him to the Romans. Pilate doesn't deal with Annas, but as I said, he deals with Caiaphas. The handing over to Pilate is described in verses 28 through to 30 there. They led him onto the judgment hall. It was early. They themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. You see, it's Passover time. They're going to eat their lamb. The time whenever lambs are going to be slain. We believe that the Lord Jesus had his Passover supper early because he's going to die at Passover time. But they haven't had their Passover supper yet. And so they can't go into the hall. They're so religious, they're so conscientious, they can't go into the judgment hall. They have to stay without. So they just send, Pilate has to come out himself. And Pilate comes out himself, and it says there in verse 29, what accusation? That's what I need to know. What's he accused of? What has he done? What is the fault? Where are the blemishes? And you see the answer that they give? If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. I mean, that's no answer. We're just assuming he's a malefactor. If he weren't a sinner, if he hadn't got blemish, we wouldn't bring him here. But what is his blemish? What's his fault? There is none. And so Pilate examines him himself for the spot and blemish to see. He now begins to do the probing. He begins to examine for the faults and the spots. And then in chapter 18, verse 38, after having examined Jesus, it says there, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. So here's Pilate having examined Jesus. He goes out to the Jews. You didn't tell me what the accusation was. I've examined him. I'm coming out to you again. And I want to tell you, I don't find any fault in him at all. There's no blemish. If there's a man can examine and interrogate, it's Pontius Pilate. If there's a man who knows human character and the human heart, it's him. And yet he tells the Jews, I don't find any fault in him. None at all, in fact. But that's not enough for the Jews. And Pilate realizes that he's going to have to probe deeper. And so in chapter 19, the instruments of probing are more severe and the tools of torture are used. And we read in chapter 19, Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. He's handed over to the Roman soldiers who humiliate him. Crown of thorns is put on his head. He's dressed in a purple robe. He's mocked in worship. Hail, King of the Jews. They smite him with their hands. And they do all kinds of abuse to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is a deeper probing. Will this Christ now manifest blemish? Will hypocrisy come out now? Will pretense come out now? Will a spirit of revenge come out now? Will anger and wrath and vengeance come out now? Will infuriation come out now? Will he fight back? Will he lose his meekness? Will he lose his dignity? Will he become violent? Will he despair? Will he despair under this as a mere man? Will he be given to depression and sin more and more in this state? Will he have blemish? Will he have spot? Will it come out now under the torture, under the probing? Just look at the description of the testing. It's severe. It goes deep. But what does Pilate find? Does he find a man like others who break under it and despair under it and curse under it and blaspheme under it and are filled with spite? Does he find a man like others? No, he doesn't. And he brings Jesus out. He brings him out in his humiliation. He brings him out in the purple robe. He brings him out with the crown of thorns. He brings him out to the Jews and he says, behold the man. As if there's never been one like him. And he says again there in verse 4, I bring him forth to you that you may know I find no fault in him. Chapter 19, verse 4, he brings him out again. This very same thing. I've tortured him. I've humiliated him. I've handed him over to the vilest of hands, and I'm bringing him out to you to see it. He's been probed. He's been prodded. He's been tortured, and I'm bringing him out to you to see it. Behold, I find no fault in him. Behold the man. And then again, the chief priests, they're not satisfied. They cried out. They said, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate says, you take him and crucify him for I find no fault in him. The third time, a threefold witness from the one who probed the deepest, he says, I find no fault in him. This is what John is showing us. This is what this narrative is all about. It's not to see the gore and the mess and all the rest. It's to see the sinlessness. He is the Lamb without spot and without blemish. What's the accusation? I find no fault in him. None at all. Test it and try it. And the only accusation that they can come up with when they're pushed to the point, the only accusation they can come up with is in chapter 19, verse 7. We have a law. And by our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. That's the accusation. That's why Jesus died. He made himself the Son of God. Did he make himself the Son of God? No, he didn't. He is the Son of God. Truly. And he manifested it by his words and by his miracles. And he will so by his resurrection. He has no fault or blemish. The only accusation is an accusation that is alleging falsehood when it is true. He is the Son of God. So test it and try it. Who has a blemish on the spot? The Jews. The high priests are unjust men. The Roman soldiers are cruel and depraved. And Pilate is a vile, weak ruler. They all have blemish. But not Jesus. The Lamb is tested and tried, remaining without spot and blemish. Under all scrutiny and the worst of provocations. Behold the Lamb of God. This is him. There is no other. There can be no other. This is our Savior. The tests without. But I said that there are also tests within. We have looked at the tests within in the judgment hall. We've looked at the tests within, but I've also said there are tests without. There are tests of another kind for Jesus. You will notice that interspersed between these narratives of the probing, the examinations, and the tortures, you will notice that in between those accounts, there are accounts of the disciples. Especially Peter and that other disciple that is referred to in the chapter. But especially Peter is highlighted. And John very subtly weaves the accounts of Peter between the narratives. He doesn't do it all at once with Peter. He talks about the first denial, and then we see the examination, and then he goes into the other two denials. It's carefully weaved through the text. And the overriding theme of these passages is to prove the spotlessness and without the without blemish of Jesus. He's tested by wicked hands, ungodly hands, ones who want to find fault. But he's also tested by his disciples. Those who profess to love him, to know him. Inside, Jesus is saying, I am he. Are you Jesus of Nazareth? I'm he. The Son of God, I am he. That's me. He doesn't deny him. He doesn't deny the truth. He's without blemish. And inside he's being put to this test. But outside, those that he is dying for, the disciples, outside Peter, who is the head and representative of them, outside Peter saying, I don't know him. Are you one of his disciples? I am not. Are you he who's with Jesus? No, it's not me. I am not. So Jesus is inside witnessing a good confession, saying, I am he. And outside, his apostle Peter is not witnessing a good confession. He's saying, I am not he. But outside, his child is denying him. And Jesus knows this. And Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Peter heard the cock. Jesus heard the cock crow too. Jesus knows what has happened outside. He even looked at him. One of the other narratives tell us. Jesus knows. He knows he's been denied by those he is to die for. By those who he loved and he spent time with. Peter has forsaken him. Peter has given in to the enemy. Peter has shown what is in the depths of his heart. Does Jesus stop loving him? Will blemish come out now? Ah, those miserable disciples. Why do I bother? Oh, I'll just cast them away. I'll just give them up. Will blemish come out now? The very ones who he spent time with, the ones who should have known better, will they provoke him? If his enemies can't provoke him, will his friends provoke him as they wound him in the house of his friends as he's wounded, will that provoke him? You know, there's nothing worse than betrayal. There is nothing worse than to learn that one that you've confided in, one you've trusted in, one who was your familiar friend, there's nothing worse than to discover he's a treacherous wretch. And that's enough to provoke any man. That's enough to take the meekness away from the best of men. That's enough to remove the graciousness. Does Jesus still love Peter? Is Jesus filled with hate now and bitterness? That's why John does all this winding into the narrative. It's the testing of the Lamb of God. Has he any fault? To be beaten and shamed by your enemies is one thing, but to be betrayed and let down by friends is a completely different thing altogether. But Jesus still loves Peter. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. He still goes to the cross loving Peter. He has not been provoked. His love has not waned. It has not faded. Peter has spot and blemish. Yes, with his treacherous heart being manifested, but not Jesus. John is showing us where all the spots are, but there's none on Jesus. And these two chapters, brethren and sisters, I have to say, they show how black the human heart is. In fact, I don't think there are darker chapters in all the Bible. The black heart of the Jews, the black heart of Judas, the black heart of Peter, the black heart of Pilate, the black heart of the Roman, the cruel Roman soldiers, the black heart of the people who cry, crucify him, crucify him. It's the blackest, darkest passage in the Bible. But there's one heart that is not black. It's the heart of Jesus. A lamb without spot and blemish. And Peter himself says he stands alone, we're redeemed with precious blood as of a lamb without spot and blemish. He goes on to shed his blood. Sacrificial blood, the blood of such a lamb. And so, brethren and sisters, you see what I've been trying to show you this morning. Jesus' death is effectual because he's this lamb. No spot, no blemish. We have black hearts, sadly. We are Peter. But Jesus loves men like Peter. And Jesus died for sinners. For Peter-like sinners. He died for you and he died for me. and his death is effectual, and his blood is atoning, and he washes our sins. He loves us, and he washes our sins, because he is our Lamb, without spot and without blemish. You remember how Moses said to the people, "Your Lamb shall be without spot and without blemish." Brethren and sisters, your Lamb is. For your Lamb is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, bless thy word to thy people. Encourage them through it. And bless them by it. For Christ's sake. Amen.